5:21-26, true righteousness deals with sinful anger. Yeehaw! Right? Yeah. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But first, I want to pray for us and open us up in prayer, because this is a subject that, you know, every one of us deal with anger in one way or the other. Okay. And so I just want to pray and ask God to just begin. And we've already had a great time of worship, but I just want to open us up in a prayer. Father, Lord, I just thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for these people, Lord, and I thank you for people who come with a willing heart to want to change, God. And so I praise you for the body that you brought here, Lord. But I pray for those tonight, Lord, that still keep you at arm's length. Lord, I pray, God, that we would be people who want to embrace what you have to say for us, God. And so I praise you for tonight, and I pray, Lord, that this would be a night for freedom where people get their lives back tonight, God. And so I praise that. I pray for that tonight, God. And I just praise you for the fact that you're God. And thank you again. Amen. And I want to give a praise real quick for some of y'all. Some of y'all understand, some of y'all won't. I ate today. Some of y'all. For some of y'all, I usually get so nervous on Saturdays, I never eat. But, man, praise God. This is an answer prayer by Josh, because Josh said, pray the day when Alan eats on Saturday. I ate on Saturday. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay. I'm expecting big things from God. Okay, so tonight we are in Matthew 5:21-26, okay? And as we continue this week on the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus transition and address six important Old Testament laws. And so as we go along this week and the next four or five weeks there, he's going to be addressing six important Old Testament laws. And each one of them start with, "You have heard that it was said long ago to the people long ago." And this is what the Old Testament law says. But then you hear Jesus respond by, "But I say..." Okay? And so as you look at these, you think, well, maybe Jesus is just trying to trump everything. But we already learned last week that Jesus did not come to abolish or get rid of the law, but he came to fulfill it. Okay? So he's not trying to get rid of the law, he came to fulfill it. Jesus is, however, challenging and creating a distinct contrast to how the teachers of the law interpret the law and how he interprets the law. Okay? He's taking it a step further. And just like they were talking about in the songs, he's looking at it from the inside out. He's looking at our heart. Jesus is taking that law a step further. You say it says this, but I say this, the real intent of this law. But see, Jesus' interpretation is for his people and is in the light of the new life that he came to give. See, he wants us to have a different life, okay? And the purpose of the law was to reveal sin. But not only to reveal sin, but it's to induce repentance. See, the law wasn't there to make you feel guilty. And so tonight, the purpose of this message is not to make you feel guilty. It is to reveal sin, okay? If we're not here to get closer to God, then we're here for the wrong reason, okay? So the law and anything that comes is here to reveal your sin, but also to reduce repentance. And all repentance is getting closer to God. You turn around from where you're at and get a little bit closer to God, okay? So in Ephesians 4:22-25, and I want to tell you on y'all's notes, y'all got a bunch of lines and stuff tonight. I tell you, as I was doing that, I just didn't have a clear way that I was going to go. And so there's a lot of scriptures that I'm going to use tonight. And so when I use a scripture, if y'all just write them down, and then y'all go back and go over them. Because here's the thing, when we deal with something like anger, we really need to know what God's Word says about it. Okay, so we're going to use a lot of scripture tonight. And I want you to, even though you may not be able to thumb through them, I want you to write them down. And I want you to take them home. I want you to meditate on those, okay, tonight. The first one, Ephesians 4:23-25. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self. See, we're told to take off the old self and put on the new self. The new self is created to be like God in true righteousness. And see, that's the true righteousness is what we're after. We don't want no more of that fake stuff. We don't want no more of that external stuff. We want true righteousness that changes life. Okay? Is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. See, what that's saying is how we act towards each other, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, is important. Okay, the way you treat me and the way I treat you is important. Our righteousness should not consist of only external like the Pharisees, but it should include what's in our heart. Tonight, we should welcome Jesus' affection and want his perspective for our lives. See, Jesus inspects us for one reason. To get us closer to him and set us free from ourselves. Okay? Jesus came to set us free. He didn't come to cramp our style, like Luke says. The issue of the inner inspection must be very important to Jesus, because we see it early here in the Beatitudes, and we see it in here. He's talking about true righteousness revealed. We see it early in his ministry. This is his first sermon in his ministry, and we see it later in his ministry, just prior to his crucifixion. And as I look at that, I want y'all to turn over to Mark 11 and 12. And we're going to do just like a quick view, but there, I think it's just some very important stuff that we need to get straight here, because here in a little bit, Jesus is going to put some pretty heavy stuff on us, you know? And so for us to accept that, there's some things we need to know about him. And so this is the heart of our Savior, the same heart that tells us to the pure in heart, you know, examining our heart. All through the Beatitudes, we've been doing that inner inspection of how are we doing in our heart, okay? So we start out in chapter 11. He entered the triumphal entry, okay? Jesus is coming in. He says, go to the village ahead of you and just as you enter it, you will find a colt there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, tell them that the Lord needs it and he will send it back here shortly. And so he told them, go find this colt. And we see in verse four, it says, so they went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered, Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And why is that even important? Because I think it's very important to realize, I'm going to tell you what Jesus says happens. Okay? And so when we begin to look at his word tonight, I want you to have confidence that whatever God says, it happens, okay? He told them to go to his colt. He knew that somebody was going to ask them. It happened, and they got to be a part of that, okay? And so we're just going to kind of go through this real quick. And then verse 12, we see the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard him say. Why is that important? Because I'm not going to do the whole teaching on the fig tree, but the fig tree that, as I was studying this, at a distance, the bigger the leaves, they should have figs, okay? The more mature leaves, at a distance, it looked like it should have figs. So Jesus, from a distance, looked like a fig tree should have a fig. He goes and does the closer inspection, okay? That's what he's doing tonight. He looked at the fig tree, and he looked underneath there and realized that this is a fig tree with mature leaves, but no fruit, okay? One of the commentaries that I was reading talked about, it's possible that he not only, because of his curse of the tree, it's possibly that the reason that he cursed it, because it probably wasn't even showing any signs of budding. It obviously didn't have any fruit, but it showed no signs of budding. Why is that important? Because some of us on the outside look like we have leaves. Some of us look like everything's going all right, but we're not producing any fruit, and we got to allow ourselves and let Jesus to inspect that, okay? And then on reaching Jerusalem, we're going to continue on. Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches and those selling the doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. As he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. I mean, we see this anger. We're talking about anger tonight. We see Jesus come in with this righteous anger. You look at the temple, and really what they were doing culturally probably wasn't that big a deal, okay? Because they were offering money changers for people coming from out of town. They were offering stability because they were going to buy things for sacrifices. They were offering doves and a lot of different things. Commercially, it looked like a good thing. But Jesus comes in with his inspection from the outside, from the culture. It looked like everything was just fine, okay? Jesus' closer inspection says, no. And Jesus goes off, okay? This righteous anger, Jesus goes off. And we're going to be talking about anger tonight a little bit. And some of y'all go off, all right? But Jesus goes off. But look how he goes off. Jesus starts quoting Scripture. When Jesus yells, when Jesus blows, he blows Scripture, all right? So I'm going to give y'all the opportunity, if you want to get mad at people, blow Scripture, all right? This is what Jesus did. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer and nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. So he had this righteous anger. He was defending the Father, okay? But he blew Scripture. So when you get ready to blow Scripture, right? But look at the opportunity. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, and they began to look for a way to kill him. See, these guys, that's not righteous anger. You know, they wanted to kill Jesus. Okay, we're going to continue in 20. And in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree with withered in roots. Peter remembered what Jesus and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And like Jesus, like verse 22 says, have faith in God, but he could have just said, duh. I said it was going to, didn't I? You know? I mean, I cursed it. What I say happened, you know? All right? But he says, have faith in God. And I really believe that's an important fact in what we're going to talk about tonight. Because he's going to tell us some things in his word. It's going to be a hard word for some of us. But we got to get to the point to where we trust him, one, okay? And we believe him. We believe what he says is true, okay? So that's important. That's very, very important. And then later on in verse 27, in this, it said, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? See, they were questioning Jesus' authority. And when somebody questions somebody else's authority, they're already in defiance and in unbelief, okay? They said, why? Who are you to tell us this? Who are you? Who gave you the authority to do this? And I'm going to tell you right now, we've got to settle that in our hearts right now. We've got to give Christ the authority to do what it is. And this must be settled in our hearts before you can ever deal with issues like anger. Okay? Because if God isn't authority, it's your feelings, it's things like that. Okay? If God isn't the authority, then you've got nowhere to go. Okay? And so we're going to be talking this week, so we've got to settle this issue of authority. If we're going to deal with issues like anger, lust next week, keeping your word, retaliation, and loving your enemy and even giving. Okay? And turn over in chapter 12 and we're going to finish. But that closer inspection, and we all ought to be ready for Jesus to do that with us, okay? Verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher. Giving Jesus some props, huh? Because he knew the right answer. Cool, huh? The man replied, you are right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Verse 34, when Jesus saw that he had answered him wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, they dared not ask him any questions. Because you got this guy, you got this religious guy, he was asking Jesus the question, and he basically quoted back what Jesus said, so he knew the exact same words that Jesus said, but Jesus, knowing his heart, said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And why is that important to us? Because a lot of us, tonight we're going to talk about anger, a lot of us have heard enough scriptures that we can quote back on anger. We've heard enough scriptures on salvation. We've heard enough things on this thing, what it is to be saved. But some of y'all are holding back from God, and you're not far from the kingdom of God. So you're just one step away, you know. And even if it's not a salvation issue, it's a sanctification issue here as well, okay? Some of y'all are not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from where God wants you to be because you have the right answers, but there's just that one thing sometimes that you will not let go of. And so tonight we're going to be talking And so I thought that was so important that we need to base our where we're going with this thing, because if we don't trust Jesus, why are we here? Okay? We have to trust his word, we have to trust who he is, and we have to trust, because like I said, he has started with inspection. And in the end of his ministry, he's doing that inner inspection, and he's still doing it today. Amen? Amen. Okay. And so tonight we're gonna, and the way that we're gonna be able to do that is that we gotta believe that what he says is true, and then we gotta give him the authority to speak in our life. Okay? So tonight we're gonna be talking, we're gonna get Jesus' perspective on the issue of anger. Sinful anger and righteous anger. We all deal with it, amen? Anybody here not ever been angry? Alright, good. we're all gonna learn something tonight. I promise you. Sinful anger is a natural response when we are in our flesh. Amen? And left unchecked by the Holy Spirit, like any sin, will take us further than we ever intended to go. Satan's desire is for it to destroy you, your witness, and others. I want y'all to watch this and we'll come back. Thank you.
Hello. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm doing great. That's good to hear. I was just calling to check in with you and see how things have been going lately.
Oh, good. I'm here at the grocery store picking up some food for community group tonight.
Oh, that's wonderful. How's your day been today?
Oh, awful.
What do you mean?
Oh, I think today is do whatever you want day, and everybody knows it but me.
Oh, okay.
Well, for starters, work today was awful. I think all of my coworkers have Starbucks coffee for brains. And then when I was leaving work and coming to the grocery store, old man River pulled out in front of me in his big Buick and decides to play patty cake with the brake pedal all up and down University. I mean, it's like, if you can drive above 10 miles per hour without your heart racing, maybe you should just hang up the keys.
Girl, you know those old drivers are precious. He probably just lost a game of 42. Maybe you should just try to relax a little bit. I mean, at this point, you're on your way to community group after all.
How can I relax? This day is not even close to being over. Oh my goodness, I feel like there's a crazy lurking on every aisle in this grocery store. Don't you just hate it when someone stands in front of the very item that you need? Hey, Goliath, yeah, you forgot to put on your invisibility cloak today. Could you move out of the way, please? Hey, thank you.
Hey, Devondria, that's not okay. Did he hear you?
I don't care. I'm in a hurry. I don't have time to step over people's feelings. Besides, I don't know these people. I hope she didn't see me. Oh, Lord Jesus, please don't let her see me. I can't stand her. She makes me so sick. I think I just got a fever.
Girl, who are you talking about? What is going on?
It's Patty from church. I can't stand her. Oh, have you heard the news about her?
Wait. I'm not interested in sharing in love or gossiping either.
Oh, no. I don't gossip. I just inform. There's a difference.
Well. Either way, maybe you should just pray for her, you know.
Uh-oh, I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to pray that she stays at least 2 aisles and 3 buggies away from me.
Hey, you know, you really need to calm down.
Calm down? I am hotter than a monkey baking cookies on an elephant's back. You want me to calm down?
Yeah, just take a deep breath and count to 10.
Oh, I know how to count to 10. Unlike some people in this store, I mean, this lady's got 53 items in the 10-item or less bag, and is she really going to dig through that whole suitcase to find a 25-cent coupon? I mean, really, I'm late for my Bible study. These people are so inconsiderate.
Well, you know, why don't you call me later after community group?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'll be praying for you.
Oh, yeah, okay, you do that, uh-huh. Because let's say God's good, uh-huh, bye. Hey, lady! No.
Oh,
what do you like about it? Yeah, please do that. Yeah, I'll see you at church.
You got issues, right? Oh, Lord. How do you go after that, right? But we do that not to entertain you guys, okay? Because there's some real stuff in there, because some of y'all have probably done some of the same exact stuff, maybe without your shirt. Don't wear your shirt if you're going to act like that, okay? But that's a part of what we're talking about. True righteousness deals with sinful anger. See, when anger gets to that point, there's some anger further down up the road or back past the road that you just hadn't dealt with before, okay? And so we're going to look in the scriptures. We're going to see what Jesus says about anger. Matthew 5, 21 through 26. That you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. So you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder. In Exodus 20:13, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Do not murder, one of the commandments. He said, anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Numbers 35:31. Many of y'all don't believe in the death penalty? Read Numbers 35:31. I mean, you know, you were, they said there's going to be some judgment. So every one of us, for most of us, the fact, if you murder somebody and you're going to be judged, that's a no-brainer, right? Okay. How many people murdered anybody in here? Well, don't raise your hand. Sorry about that. I thought about that when I was thinking that. Okay. I don't want to know who you are. And for the religious of that day, this broad look at the Old Testament law gave them a sense of righteousness that made them feel good about where they stood. See, a lot of us say, man, I ain't never murdered nobody, so I should be fine, you know. But that gives you a false sense of security, all right? And so if you think, I haven't murdered anybody, but let's go see what Jesus says. That's what the law says. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. I mean, y'all feeling good now? We're all going to get to learn something tonight, I'm telling you, okay? Because we look at that, but I tell you, from my perspective, it's equal to the law, but it's a step further. That anyone who is angry with his brother, and that angry, you think about angry, in general, angry is an inner emotion. See, we think of anger as what we saw right there, anger, okay? But anger is in here before it ever comes out like that, okay? Anger is an inner emotion. Anger, it says, in its intense emotional state induced by displeasure. When you get displeased, you get angry. Because we want what we want. All right? And it says, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. You think, well, if it's on the inside, how am I going to be subject to judgment? Because there's no human court that tries cases of inner anger. God does. But God does for his people. Because inner anger is something that starts. Anger, I'm going to tell you what, I bet there ain't a murder one that happened where there wasn't some anger involved. You know what I mean? The root of murder is anger. And so Jesus is saying, before it gets to murder, let's deal with the inside. Let's deal with what's going on. Let's deal with that inner area of you that's just so displeased. Okay? And Jesus is linking anger with murder. Right? That's a big deal. It's the same thing in his eyes, because it leads to murder. It killed her witness. All right? It killed her joy. It killed, you know, the anger like that, it kills. All right? And so in James 1:19, y'all can begin to write these things down. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger, we're not talking about this God, this righteous anger. Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. There's no time when you can get mad because you're just mad that God desires that, okay? There are righteous anger. We'll talk about that a little bit later tonight. But no time can you just express your anger, and that's okay. All right? Culture says it is. God says it isn't. Okay? For his people, we have to deal with that. In Ephesians 4:26, it tells us, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Okay? So it tells me, in your anger, that shows me that, well, we're going to get angry. And see, I think God realizes that. Okay, you're going to sin. Things come through your mind. You're going to get angry. So don't get condemned thinking, man, I got angry. God doesn't love me anymore. That's wrong, okay? Because the blood on the cross saved you from that same anger. Anger is sin, okay? Sinful anger we're talking about here. But it's what you do with that anger. You know, we're going to have angry thoughts. I mean, Christians get angry, but we're not to sin in our anger. See, an example, we got some amazing people in our community group. Y'all do too, right? Okay, we're all in the same still. Okay, come on now. I got to get testified. Y'all got some messed up community groups. I need to know now. You know, we got some amazing people in our community group, and we were talking about being soft and light and stuff. And so people began to talk about where they've been soft and light, and inevitably, half of us were like, man, I can't stand the people I work with. You know, I'm like, man, y'all Christians. You know, but it was so funny to realize that even godly people get frustrated with knuckleheads. All right. And it happens. But see, we cannot allow that to get into our bodies, and we got to be checked by each other, okay? So every one of us get angry, but in your anger, do not sin. But we can be angry at sin, right? We need to be angry at sin. And so in these scriptures tonight, we see, as I was studying this, I saw a progression of sinful anger. And it started with the one that we very first started with, the silent or at inner anger. This is when it's fermenting inside of you. Anybody ever had the anger just boil up in you like that? Clenched jaw. Any of y'all do that old clenched jaw when you get mad? Oh, man. And one of the definitions of anger, the face burns. Man, I have been so mad and so hot. My neck gets red, probably red right now. And the silent treatment to your coworkers and spouse. On the inside. See, that's still anger. See, that's still something that has to be dealt with. You can do all those things on the inside, but it's suppressed. But if you don't deal with it, it's a problem. Okay? So how do we deal with it? This is, I'm going to tell you, let's learn this one now, and we don't have to go through the other part, okay? Because if we deal with anger like that, we've got it nipped in the bud, okay? That's where God wants us to deal with our anger, when it's on the inside, okay? So personal confession, just you and God. You don't have to tell nobody. See, if you're faithful to ask for forgiveness in your sins, He's faithful to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just ask Him to cleanse you. And you claim Scripture. You got to learn some Scriptures on this, and that's why I'm going to give you all some of them tonight, you know? And then realize the grace of God. That's how you do it, because you cannot not get angry without the grace of God working in you. Okay? It's God's grace, and you got to realize what God did makes it worthy of you going through the trouble of maybe being wronged or whatever it is. Okay? Deal with that inner anger. That's what we need to do. Alright? It's less messy to deal with it that way. But the next step we see in Scripture, in this passage, is it takes the form of speech. Okay? We see it says again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. He says, so anyone who says, see, now your anger has gone from the inside to outside of your mouth, okay? And it says to his brother, Raca. I mean, you know, we don't understand that word. That sounds kind of like, that word means empty-headed fool. It's a hateful speech towards others. But, you know, I want to suggest to you, you don't even have to say legible words to be in trouble with God from speaking out, okay? It says, when you said to your brother, I mean, some of us, when we get a little unhappy, we, you know, and we'll grumble. We won't say things people can understand, but we're still saying things, okay? And I'm going to tell you, when it comes out of your mouth, you're held more accountable. When people hear it, you're held more accountable, all right? The charges go up against you, you know, because you see, because it says, anyone who said to his brother Raca is answerable to the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin of that day were the religious leaders of the Jewish of the Jews, okay? And so how does that apply to us, all right? You're speaking stuff out. Human discipline for gossip. See, I'm going to tell you, as a member of this church, if you begin to gossip, Sanhedrin Joe's going to come get you. No, he's not going to do that. This is a body thing, okay? Because as a member, you signed a membership agreement saying you're not going to gossip, okay? And so when anger in the form of gossip comes out of your mouth, we're going to deal with it, okay? Because we have to. And so that's a form of discipline and judgment that's going to happen. And slander, I mean, you slander somebody, you may end up in court, okay? So with anger becomes to come out of your mouth. And in James 1:26, these are all things that I'm saying, but James 1:26 says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You make your religion worthless when you do those things. And the thing about words is you can't unring a bell. Okay? Once you've said it, that's it. It's out there. Okay? Then you gotta deal with the consequences from there. Okay? We've heard this deal. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. I'm gonna tell you what, words harm. Words harm. They're harmful to the kingdom. They're harmful to people. And they harm people. Okay? Don't think that just because you're hard on the outside that other people are too. Okay? Words harm people. We need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. James 3:5-6, it says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. See, the tongue corrupts the whole person. Did y'all get me there? The whole person. It sets the course of his life on fire. And if you loose with your tongue, I'm going to tell you what, it corrupts your whole person. And it and itself set on fire by hell. Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. So guarding yourself, you can keep yourself from calamity. Any of y'all watch college football? All right, there's a few of y'all. Okay, all right. The first game of the year, Oregon played, I don't know who it was. They got beat. Who was it? Boise State, yeah. They got beat. They weren't supposed to get beat. They had a running back that was probably going to be a first-round draft pick. Some guy pushed him after the game, and, you know, he retaliated, which, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, he's going to retaliate, you know. But the brother went off, okay. He went off after that. He got so mad, that little thing just got him going. Something inside of him blew, all right, and he went crazy, tried to go up in the stands, and if y'all seen it on ESPN, I mean, the guy lost everything for his senior year here, okay. So one misjudgment, if I could bring him in here today, he would probably tell you, get a handle on your anger. You know, there's a lot of people that are probably in prison and in jail and stuff, that if I could get them up here today, they would say, come on, get a handle on your anger before it gets you. Okay? I believe that that would be his testimony. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And like I said before, if you're going to get full vent to your anger, start blowing out some scriptures. Okay? All right? Learn a bunch. And some of y'all can't blow because y'all don't know none. Okay? If you're going to blow out scriptures, you've got to have them right too. Okay? All right. And you're sitting there thinking, Alan, but you don't know what I deal with. You're right. But I'm going to tell you what, I know a God who does. I know a God who does, and I don't care what you're going through, God's bigger than any of your stuff. Okay? He showed me that this week. There's freedom. I'm going to tell you, the fact that I'm not nervous tonight is just a blessing, and God freed me from that this week. Okay? Because man, I don't know what happened. I got up all frustrated one day, and he said, turn to Psalm, man, and Psalm just spoke to me. I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you. Okay? I'm going to tell you that God's bigger than any of your problems. See, here's the thing. None of my problems, none of the things that I worry about, the weight that's on my shoulders, and from my perspective, none of that's changed. But I'm going to tell you, there's a perspective from me that changed that allows me to carry weight that I can't carry because I ain't carrying it anyway. Because His yoke is easy and His burden is light, okay? So when it begins to get, we're off on another whole tangent. I'm going to have to put my finger where I was at because, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But I'm going to tell you what, you weren't prepared to hold that stuff on your shoulders, but you can with Jesus, just give it to Him, all right? So I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you what, your stuff ain't nothing to the Lord. It has nothing. I don't care what it is. Nothing. God's too big. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. Praise God. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. See, God wants you to have victory. He gives you a way out. He wants you to have victory, but He also allows stuff to come in your life because He's not going to just take the anger away from you. I guess He can, but I'm going to tell you the best way to get by anger is go through it. Have an opportunity to get angry and you win. See, that lets you know that you got a God on your side that says, man, I don't care. I should have been mad that day, but I wasn't because I got a God inside of me that's more powerful than any anger. Okay? And so that, you can do that. All right? Because you have God in you. And we've all failed in this area in one way or the other. Okay? So don't think that if you're dealing with it right now, you're the only one. Every one of us in this room has failed at anger. We've all blown. You know, some of y'all look quite ladies. Y'all might not have blown. But I'm going to tell you, that was my MO when I grew up. I was angry. If you got on me, I got on you quick. And I had that voice that just would be so crazy. But sometimes the way out is just to be quiet. Y'all see me doing this a lot of times? I got this bad habit of doing that. Man, because it took me a long time biting my tongue, biting my jaw, trying to get past that anger. Because I'm going to tell y'all right now, that anger that I had when I was a kid and what I grew up in is still in here. It wants to come out at times, but man, I gotta bite my tongue. I gotta keep it in there. I gotta work on that. By the grace of God, it don't spew on y'all. Don't go acting a fool out there with your shirt on. It might though. But that's something else. Okay. And I had a guy, and that's the only way I can get victory is realize what Jesus has done for me. And I had a guy come in, the other day, and we were going somewhere, and a friend of mine, and he gets out of the car, and man, he's hot, you know, and he said, how in the world, and he's a Christian brother too, he knows I'm Christian, so he knew he couldn't cuss. And so he said, how in the world can you be nice to mean people or whatever, or people that are just rude and stuff like that? I said, well, you can't do it for them. You gotta do it for Jesus. You know what I mean? But sometimes you can't, the people that are causing your anger, they may not be worthy of your forgiveness and stuff, but I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is. Okay? So if you can't do it for them, do it for Him. Okay? And there's a quote from Thomas Jefferson, and she used it a little bit. She said, when you get angry, when angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, 100. Some of them may need to count to 1,000, you know? But if you focus on people, you're going to get angry. Okay? People are going to make you angry. Okay, so the next possession, yeah, okay, we gotta be careful with what we say, we gotta be careful how it comes out of our bodies, okay? The next progression that I see in those scriptures is that, is of hatred. This is where you've allowed your anger to infiltrate your heart. See, it's infiltrated your heart, and it's not just in your mouth. It says, but anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. And that word fool is a strong statement. That's above and beyond raka, okay? The term fool is translation in a statement that shows hatred and total disregard for another person. In 1 John 2:9, we read that anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Okay? Still in darkness if you hate your brother. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Praise the Lord, okay? There's both sides of that coin. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. And how many, let's don't wander around not knowing where we're going because we've got hatred in our heart for people, okay? Just because we'll be in danger of the fire of hell. And that's some strong words right there, okay? But I'm going to tell you, does that mean if you've ever felt extreme anger for somebody that you're going to hell? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. But here's what I do know, that if your life is characterized by anger and hate, you've got a problem, okay? If you got a list, a lot of people you just hate, let me tell you what, you need to have a spiritual checkup with our Lord. Because He came for people, okay? He came to set people free. And if you can't forgive those, if you can't forgive others, the Word says He can't forgive you, okay? But the remedy is the power of the blood. That's the remedy to that hate, okay? The power of the blood. The same blood that washes away all our sin. I'm going to tell you, if you've got that hate in your heart and you just don't know what to do with it, just claim the blood of Jesus, okay? And it's the gospel. Some of us have to preach the gospel back to ourselves, because if you really believe that God came down from heaven and came to earth and gave up His life, gave His blood for you, for your sins. I'm going to tell you, the blood is where it's at, okay? He gave up His life. That's His life. He gave up His life for us. If you really believe that, you can be free from hatred, okay? The gospel is good news. The gospel, and I'm reading this book, it talks about the gospel. We need to preach the gospel back to ourselves on a regular basis, okay? We got to remember how good news the gospel is, okay? The gospel is good news, amen? And the blood of Jesus can get rid of any hatred, I promise you. But you got to recognize what that blood cost him. Okay? This is not no intellectual thing. This is saying that, man, this man gave his blood for me, and that blood cleanses my sin. And that's all you have to believe. But you got to quit focusing on what people did to you and focus on what Jesus did for you. And if you do that, I promise you life change. I promise you life change. You might think, well, I'm okay. I'm going to tell you what anger does too. It gives you a false sense of yourself. Because when you're angry with people, you don't see the problem. You're too worried about your anger. You justify yourself. And it's always somebody else's fault. You know? It's always somebody else's fault when you're angry, and you just can't get the perspective of what God is trying to show you because you're so focused on the anger. And anger, the next step, is anger affects your worship. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. It says, therefore, since anger is a big deal, you need to deal with it. Can we make an agreement here tonight that if we have anger in our hearts, we need to deal with it? We can't just leave it there, okay? Can we agree to that tonight, okay? Somehow we got to deal with it, and maybe we'll get an opportunity tonight, some of y'all to deal with it. Because it says, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. See, God is more interested in you being right with your brother and getting rid of that anger than He is here, you singing a song to Him. Because your song is meaningless if your heart's not right. So you go to your brother, you know, and more than likely, both of you know, and some of y'all may have to do that tonight. There may be somebody in here that you need to get up and when we start working. I mean, if you want to get up now, I'm going to tell you what, that's fine. But if there's somebody in here, we have got to get right with our Christian brothers, okay? So somehow if there's something in here that you need to get right with people, you need to do that tonight. And you think, well, man, they may not receive me. Romans 12:18 says, but if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So you can't make people like you. All right, but the thing, what we're trying to do is we're trying to give people freedom to get themselves right with God, okay? As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. You are not responsible for their response, okay? Do not remain in captivity, please. Free yourself, because there's no person in this world worth hindering your relationship with God. And y'all turn over to Isaiah 1, 10 through 20. This is how the Lord sees our worship when we don't repent, okay? Because some of y'all, I mean, God may be working on people right now, and they're like, man, I just can't do it. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it, you know? And these scriptures were written to a rebellious nation, but I believe it applies to individuals as well. We talked about in some of our prayer points that individuals' relationship with each other, their anger, it hinders our prayers. Okay, it hinders the prayers of the body. Okay, so even though these verses here are written to a group of a rebellious nation, it applies to each individual believer as well. Okay, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. That's some bad places from what we know about the Bible, right? All right. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, of the fat of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon, Sabbath, and convocations, I cannot bear with evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. Man, I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Okay? That's some messed up worship right there if you can't even pray to your God. Okay? Is one person worth that? You not being able to pray to your God and hear you? You got to get this right. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. See, when we don't deal with our anger, we're murdering people in our heart. Our hands are full of blood. Okay? Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. And this is where it gets good. Verse 18. Come, now let us reason together. Okay? God don't want it that way. He don't want to not answer your prayers. God wants a relationship with you. He says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Amen, huh? Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. God wants to restore you. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is God's word right here. We need to deal with our anger. Our worship is meaningless to Him. We need to. The Lord sees our work. This is how the Lord sees our worship when we don't repent. But the Lord wants to restore us. Then we can come and worship the Lord. Okay? But tonight you're going to have an opportunity. Maybe if you've got some anger or issues, well, you can do it right there. You're going to have an opportunity to come and allow God to restore you into that intimate relationship and into that worship with Him. You're going to get to do that a little bit tonight. Okay? Because God is in the restoring business. Verse 25, to settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. See, I see another progression here, you know, and the only way I could just kind of visualize what's happening here is everybody ever had a leak, a drippy faucet, or a leak in a water hose, or something like that? The leaks get any better? Leaks never get better, okay? I just want you to know that. Leaks never get better. So if you got some issues with people, settle it quickly. Man, I'm a procrastinator. I got an air hose at my shop. It's been leaking for like a month, you know? And so I just keep, and I know one day it's just gonna blow, you know? And so I keep bending it down, putting it underneath there so the air won't come out, you know? But this week, Word of God made me pick my air hose. You know? I'm telling you. I ain't kidding you. I was like, you know what? How can I be sitting here with an empty air hose and air hose just leaking all over the place like that? And I'm not even dealing with something like that. And I know that's not spiritual, but I'm going to tell you what. That's something that I could put my mind around. Okay? My air hose is doing perfectly fine. Okay? Because I settled matters quickly this week when I was confronted with God's word. Okay? All right. So, but see, God's word working in your business too. It's not just a, we just won't go there, all right? But in Jesus' day, if you couldn't pay your debt, you were thrown in prison, okay? You were there for good unless somebody else paid for you. So the advice to settle the matter quickly is very practical before things get worse, okay? The unresolved sin and anger could end up in death, physical as well as spiritual, okay? So basically, that whole scripture right there is saying you need to settle matters quickly before they get worse. Because they're going to get worse, because anger never gets better. Okay? Settle matters quickly. It says, and you will not get out until you pay the last penny. And I'm not talking about just barely smoothing that stuff over just to get legal, just to get by, okay? We had a fire the other day at the house, and I burnt some stuff, and a couple of days later I went back there, and there were still some embers going on in there, you know? And I'm thinking, man, I better put some water on that, a little bit of more wind, that could start another fire. See, when he says, you will not get out until you pay the last penny, you're not going to be done with that anger until you get rid of that last little spark. I mean, it's got to be a total cleansing for God to be pleased with that, okay? Proverbs 6:3-5 says, then do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hand, this is what we do. Go humble yourself, press your plea with your neighbor, allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids, and free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. And y'all knew a taxidermist was going to bring some kind of hunting analogy in on this, right? Okay. But that's a beautiful picture right here, I'm telling y'all. Okay. Because there ain't a hunter one that's after a gazelle and he wants to let him go. Okay. Every hunter is out there to kill it. Okay. They got some catch and release bass people, but when you're out there hunting, you're there for real. Okay. So free yourself. Go humble yourself. Press the plea with your issue. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like the gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. See, when you do that, when you allow that anger, you allow God to deal with that anger, you get your life back. See, you free yourself like the gazelle from the hunter. See, you get your life back. Because right now you're in captivity. If you're burdened down by anger, you are in captivity, I'm telling you. I lived there for a long time. Deal with your anger. Please, put your life back. And your anger has an effect on others. In an article entitled War's Lethal Leftovers Threaten Europeans, AP reporter Christopher Burns writes, the bombs of World War II are still killing in Europe. They turn up and sometimes blow up at construction sites, in fishing nets, or on the beaches 50 years after guns fell silent. Hundreds of tons of explosives are recovered every year in France alone. 13 old bombs exploded in France last year, killing 12 people and wounding 11. Unexploded bombs become more dangerous with time. With the corrosion inside, the weapon becomes more unstable and the detonator can be exposed. Do y'all get the reality of that right there? The corrosion on the inside exposes the detonator. So when you let corrosion on the inside, you've got some triggers that starts going off. All right? What's true about lingering bombs is also true about lingering anger. Buried anger will explode when we least expect it. How many people do we know who have been blown up by old bombs left behind by you? We got to deal with those things. They're going to explode. For us to live that righteous life that Jesus has for us, we must recognize and deal with our anger. I'm going to tell you tonight, let it go. Let it go. It's not worth hanging on to. Okay? A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Why not just be wrong? You know? Why not just be wrong? Is anybody worth that? Okay? Why not just be wrong? So if we're going to get angry, we need to get angry with sin. See, because this anger is something from the devil. He's trying to keep you from that relationship with God. If you want to get angry at somebody, get angry at the devil. For fooling you for all these years and for stealing your life, okay? Get angry at him. Get angry at sin. If you want to get angry at something, get angry but sin and wage war against the devil. Ephesians 6:10-12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong where? In the Lord. You can't fight the devil on your own now. Be strong in the Lord. And in His mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Quit fighting each other. Let's fight the devil. Let's do some righteous anger. Let's fight sin in the marketplace. Okay? Let's be that, be those kind of Christians. We must allow Jesus to inspect us and give us His perspective in how we deal with our sinful anger and how we cultivate in our lives the righteous anger we should display. And so I want you to just, I'm going to close tonight and read Hebrews 12:14-15 of you. And like I said, I was going to read a lot of scripture tonight. Because it's God's Word that's going to make a difference, okay? We use the skit, we use God's Word, and, you know, try to keep you awake, keep you laughing, whatever, you know. I'm not doing that to entertain you guys. I know y'all just like me. I do not want you to miss the Word of God. I do not want you to miss what God has, okay? Hebrews 12:14-15. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile men. You're going to have a little root, a little plant of anger pop up maybe even tonight. Maybe even tomorrow, because if God plants something in you that you to respond to, the devil's going to come and he's going to try to steal that from you tonight, okay? But it says, do not let bitter roots grow up in you. If they're in you, that's fine. Let's get rid of them, okay? Just don't let them, don't feed them, don't water them. That's how things grow. Don't water that kind of stuff, okay? It causes trouble and defile men. And so tonight, we're going to do a little bit different. We've got a song that they're going to sing. And you can respond, praise team, y'all can begin coming up. But we're gonna sing a song. It's a special. They were gonna do it for a special, but I'm gonna tell you what, the words of that song, I don't want you to listen to who's singing it. I don't want you to listen to the, I want you to listen, but I don't want you to focus on that. I want you to focus on the words of this song, okay? And respond as God asks you to respond. Let's pray. Father Lord, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you that you are worthy of dealing with this anger, God. You are worthy, Lord. And I pray that in this song, God, that in this time of worship, that if anyone needs to get right with somebody, Lord, if they just need to get right with you, God, if people just want to come and be prayed over, God, I pray that tonight will be the night where people release themselves and get their lives back. God, we need you. God, this place needs you. People need to see true, genuine love, God. So I ask tonight, Lord, that you would just do your thing with each one of us. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. And thank you for your gospel. Amen.